Okay, welcome back. We are here once again for another edition of Fresh Ubuntu, the Fresh Ubuntu podcast. My name is Harlem. I am here with my co-host and good friend, Peter Nicolaitis. What is going on, Peter?
All kinds of things are going on.
Yep.
I have my new HP desktop. I'm very happy about that. Sweet. And I'm actually standing at my desk right now because I have a hip injury from a couple of years ago. So when I sit in a regular plain old chair, that starts to hurt. So I bought one of those cool yoga ball chairs so that I could sit like on a yoga ball, which engages your core muscles and stuff. And it's better for your back and stuff. And that's all great, except it's too low. So when I use that, my shoulder starts hurting from, mouse shoulder.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm standing and everything's great. So I just need to elevate my my desk. The only thing is that I could find to elevate everything properly was a couple of USB hard drive boxes. So I have my my mouse and my keyboard and my microphone all elevated by about 5 inches to get everything right.
Oh, man. So, otherwise everything's going okay. How's the weather out in Vermont this week?
The weather here in Vermont, and thank you for pointing out where I am at. That was some of the feedback I got this week from last week's episode. Was people said people don't know where we are when we're talking about the weather. So here in Vermont, things are pretty good. We've been having a lot of thawing going on, so a lot of this snow and stuff is turning to ice, and the stairs are getting nice and slippery outside my building. But I think that is an indication that spring is around the corner, so I've got to start polishing off the mountain bike and getting ready.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that things are warming up for you. It is warming up over here. We've been experiencing, I guess you could call it an early spring, but it's neither here nor there as long as it's getting warmer. I'm really not a cold weather person. I don't know why, but must be the island blood that I have, so.
Must
be. So anyway, let's get on with, you got a new computer. I'm sorry. We're going to talk a little bit about this new computer of yours. You got a new computer from Dell or HP?
No, I bought an HP. It's a fairly standard. It's, it's nothing super fancy, but given the fact that I was on a 4 or 5 year old Pentium 4 machine, it's a nice upgrade. So, it's an HP DC5800. It's a standard desktop unit. It's got a Core 2 Duo processor and a couple of gigs of RAM. And it's nice. It's a nice step forward from where I was on the, old Dell Dimension, whatever it was, 4000 series.
Wow.
So, I'm happy so far.
Yeah, I know how you feel. I love getting new things, especially new computers. And it sure makes things a little bit easier. You have a little bit more speed to play with, and kinds of stuff. You can have like 6 or 7 applications open all at once, right?
Oh, well, I used to do that all the time. The difference is now that my machine actually, I can still do things when I have things like that open.
Right. It's a little more speedier.
It doesn't take like 5 minutes to boot up more.
Exactly. Faster than a Kentucky virgin, as they used to say. So. Anyway, there's a lot of news this week, and for some reason, just kind of all of a sudden avalanches on you. 4 or 5 days into the week, there's nothing, and suddenly on a Wednesday and a Thursday, it all falls on you. So
it's because they were waiting. They were waiting for us to start recording.
Exactly. We are the pulse, as we are about to see. We are the pulse of Ubuntu.
That's right. Stay tuned for details.
Exactly. So, anyway.
Hey, did you finalize? Did you make up your mind as to what our theme song is going to be?
Yes, I did finalize it, and I will announce that at the end of the show. And thank you for reminding me. But big news at the end of the show about the theme song. So, awesome. Anyway, we will be right back with the news this week in a short second here. Okay. And here we are. We're back with Peter and I once again, and we are here with the news. And the first up we have this week is the announcement of the GNOME desktop user interface. It has come out with its next version, GNOME 2.22, and it is out. And Looks promising. You can check it out at www.gnome.org. What do you think, Peter?
I think it looks good. It doesn't, I don't know, from an end user standpoint, I don't think there's going to be as many changes and improvements as we saw in the last version, which kind of goes along with very well, I think, with the Hardy release, because you remember Gutsy, you know, they had a lot of changes and enhancements and things, but Hardy's supposed to just focus on stability and long-term support. So I think that this release of GNOME Desktop is going to fit pretty well in with that. They have added some new applications, though. They've well, you said you wanted to talk about the cheese program, and they have the Vinegar VNC client. What's cheese, anyway?
Well, cheese, and for those of you who have webcams, can now finally rejoice, because cheese is a package that'll allow you to use your webcam in Ubuntu and use it quite nicely, actually. So I've been searching for something like this for a long time. I have, you know, webcams on all of my computers here, and it was kind of difficult to find a package that would allow me to use it, you know, take a picture every now and again. Of course, Skype, and which will have Skype has something now, which it didn't have before, but we'll announce that at another time. But anyway, a brand new application designed to take care of your webcam, and it allows you to make photos and record videos using your little webcam.
That's
and
cool.
So they named it Cheese.
Cheese. Say cheese. So,
say cheese.
Well, like I mentioned, that they've got the new Vinagre.
Vinagre, yeah.
Exactly. New desktop client. So that's just, I guess, I don't know. It supports multiple simultaneous connections, and apparently it can scan your local network for VNC servers. And that's something that, like, on the Microsoft side of things, you've been able to browse a network for remote desktop servers. So now you'll be able to browse for VNC servers. Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's got that remote desktop viewer. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's going to replace that. It sounds like it does a lot of the same stuff.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that, if it's going to replace or just, you know, if you're going to have multiple remote desktops. That's the thing, is the remote desktop client that comes with Ubuntu already supports VNC and remote desktop, and I think X11 also. So, you know, this sounds like this is a minor improvement. They are including, from a developer's standpoint, they are including the GVFS virtual file system framework. And the biggest thing with that is, I guess, what that'll let you do is, for GNOME applications, it gives you, it's like a transparency layer. Like when you go to mount a drive or something under GNOME, all of your GNOME apps that are written to take advantage of this feature will be able to access those drives that you mount. And it just gives an easier way for your GNOME-based apps to access network resources or other file systems. So for an end user, you're not going to, like, use the GVFS, I don't think. But if you're a developer, you can, and we end users will benefit from this, because we'll have cool new features in our GNOME apps. At least that's right. The theory. So, they changed a couple of ideas. I thought there was supposed to be a program called Empathy, which was supposed to be their new messaging client, but apparently that is not going to be included in the new version. And but they were planning on putting a new version of the Ikiga VoIP client. So, you know, we'll see some new apps, nothing earth-shattering again, but, you know, it looks like, again, this is a good release, something that'll fit well, you know, dovetail well with the Hardy 8.04 release next month.
Again, in lockstep with the Hardy Heron release, which is a long-term support release, and so we're probably not going to see a lot of huge, you know, changes in this version of GNOME, but look for something to come along with Intrepid, so we'll see.
Yep.
You can check out the links that we have from news.softopedia.com, and ARS Technica has also done a write-up on the GNOME release, too. So a couple of interesting stories there.
Yeah. All right, next, to give equal coverage, I suppose, in the spirit of bipartisanship, KDE 4.0.2 has been released. So last week, the latest update to KDE 4 comes out, and as you'd expect, it's mostly bug fixes. So, not being a KDE user, at least not a KDE 4 user right now, I can't really comment too much on this. I do know that 4.02 was released in the Kubuntu Alpha 8.04 Alpha 6. So if you want to check that out, you can download the latest Hardy Alpha for Kubuntu, and you can see exactly what is new. Apparently, you can resize the panel. I know that a bunch of people complained about that. You couldn't really modify things. A lot of stuff that just, from what I've read really quickly, it just reaffirms everything I've said about the fact that KDE 4 is still a beta and just, you know, feels like an early beta, and I really think that they've still done a disservice to version numbering and, you know, the term beta in general. But anyway, here's the dead horse.
I totally agree with you, and I think it might have been better just to call it 3.9 or something like that instead of KDE 4, but in any event, it's coming along,
yep.
And
getting better.
It looks like it's getting better, and we'll see. I'll probably put this on one of my machines and check it out. I installed 3.5, or actually, I installed the Kubuntu desktop in the past couple of weeks, and you know, it hasn't changed much in any way. So, cool. I'm looking forward to 4.0, and we'll see. So.
Cool. Let's see. Next
up.
Oh, we had some kind of depressing news. Slightly yeah. Bad, I think, huh?
A little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, do you remember our the GPC over at Walmart, like the one that I bought for my father for Christmas?
Right.
The $200 machine from Walmart. Apparently, Walmart is not going to be selling it, at least in their stores, anymore. They're removing that. They said the quote from a Walmart spokeswoman was that this really wasn't what our customers were looking for, which I really think it's kind of funny that they sold out like in the first week of they had them, but they're not looking for this. So does that mean that all those people bought the wrong thing or what? I don't know what that means. So, they're pulling from their shelves, and that's kind of disappointing. But you were able to find a bright side on this story, right?
Absolutely, and I think what is being lost in this whole thing is that they will still continue to sell it on their website at walmart.com, and I can give you a link to that as well. But they're not entirely getting rid of it, so to speak, and a lot of people may be a bit depressed about it, but as this one article from internetnews.com has put it, Walmart is all about profit margin. And
yep.
Apparently, cheap computers and a free operating system is not good for their profit margin. And, I suppose as a business decision, I can't fault them for that. However, I think, for Linux, it should, in the very near future, I think, within the next 2 or 3 years, become much more popular than it is now, and unfortunately, in this country and in the minds of a lot of people, free doesn't always mean quality. But they are making a big mistake, especially with Ubuntu.
Yeah, I agree. So that was the kind of depressing news. But on the brighter note, allegedly, it's been confirmed now that Asus is going to have an 8.9-inch version of their EPC. I was happy to hear that, because you remember I was saying that was the one thing I was waiting for, is a slightly larger screen. And
right.
So as reported in Gizmodo and DailyTech.com, the new EPC allegedly will have an 8.9-inch display. It's going to come with a gigabyte of RAM, a faster processor, and up to 12 gigs of native storage. And the big thing is that display is going to support a resolution up to 1024 by 600. So it's still a widescreen display. But, most websites and everything that's out there is written for around 1024 by 768 or so these days. So
right.
At least we'll have the width, you know, to view these web pages. You still have to scroll to see most of it, but, you know, that's normal. So now that's something where I'm starting to think that this is going to be a usable machine and, you know, more practical. So I'm looking forward to getting one of these.
So am I. I'm really excited about this one. A gig of RAM. I think I might I might settle for or ask for another gig if they could fit it in, but I like the idea of having 12 gigs of storage, and is that still the same SSD drive?
Yeah, it's still a solid state. It's still a solid state drive, yes.
Good. But yeah, I'm really excited about this. It seems like the 8.9 inch screen is going to have a little bit better on the eyes, and I play around with the 7-inch screen, which was nice too, really handy to have around, especially if you're just out and about, you know, maybe stopping at a coffee shop, having a cup of coffee, pull out your little 7-inch Asus, pardon my expression, but pull that out and, you know, get on the internet while you're having a cup of coffee. This seems like a viable solution to actually get some work done while you're having your cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, as we were talking about it, I just stumbled on an Engadget article where they apparently actually have a photo of it. They have the 7-inch and the 9-inch side by side. So I've just given you a link to add to the show notes for that.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, the one thing I like, I mentioned before we started recording, I bumped into my neighbor this morning, and I didn't have a lot of time to actually play with it, but for the first time I did get my hands on an OLPC, and it was kind of interesting. You know, it felt like a little lunchbox at first, but the one thing that I like most about the Asus models is that compared to like the EverX Cloudbook or to the OLPC, this feels more like a laptop or a notebook computer to me, whereas those feel, you know, the OLPC and the feels like and the EverX Cloudbook just looks a little odd. You know, they don't feel like standard computers, and I'm afraid that it's just going to take too much time, you know, getting used to them that I wouldn't really like them. But this feels just like a smaller conventional notebook PC, and that's what I really like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think maybe to make it just a little bit better, and I think a little bit more competitive in the open market would be adding a swivel screen and making it a tablet type of PC. But I'm getting ahead of them, probably. Maybe that's already in the works. So
who knows?
Anyway, I got that link from Engadget. We'll have all of that and the prior links as well at freshubuntu.org in the show notes.
Excellent. All right, I believe you had the next story.
Okay, and the next story is Skype 2.0 for Linux is out and about. And I got a tweet about this a little bit earlier because they are not offering a 64-bit client yet, apparently. But what's so special about this Skype, as opposed to the other Skypes, is that this one for Linux has finally web video enabled. So you can now make video calls in Linux just as easily as you could in Mac or on a Mac or on a regular PC running Windows. So well done to Skype, and hopefully shortly they'll come up with a 64-bit client. Kyle sent me a tweet earlier, and he was looking around for a 64-bit client, and he couldn't find one. And I don't see one here on the website itself, and I might have to drill down a little bit closer, but on the outside, they don't have one for a 64-bit Linux. So maybe in time.
Yeah, yep, give them time. They just barely came out with 2.0. Come on.
Kyle, come on. All right. You got something about GCC 4.3, right?
That is right. The GNU Compiler Collection, formerly known as the GNU C Compiler, GCC, they've renamed it now because it supports several other languages. GCC 4.3 is out. Now, if you are a programmer, you're probably interested in this. If you're not a programmer, this is about as exciting as knowing that the GNOME GVFS thing is going to be available. You know, it's not really...
Fast forward.
Yeah, exactly. Just skip to the next piece. Anyway, GCC, it's a very robust compiler platform for not just C anymore, several other languages. It is version 4.3 has been released. It came out last week, and they are billing this as a major release. It contains many new features and lots of improvements. So we'll include a link so those of you who are programmers and are interested in can peruse, and you know, maybe your programs will be better now. I don't know. Yep. So,
maybe so.
Who knows?
And up next, we have something that will hopefully, maybe, perhaps one day, get us away from proprietary software a little bit easier, because this week, the first Gnash beta. Gnash, of course, is the open source Flash player for Linux. And you run Gnash on one of your machines. Is that right, Peter?
I had it on one of my laptops, one of my notebook installs that I was using. I was testing it very briefly, though, and that was my throwaway laptop. So at the moment, I don't have it running right now. I've got I just have Adobe Flash.
Cool. So let me give you a little bit of insight into what Gnash does. It supports the majority of Flash opcodes up to SWF version 7 and a wide sampling of ActionScript 2 classes for SWF version 8.5. Flash version 9 and ActionScript 3 support is being worked on, so still has a little bit to catch up on, but nice, healthy, free, open source alternative to the Flash player. And thank you, fellas developers over at Gnash.
And on software notes too, as far as that's your native port, you know, native alternative to the Flash player. But when that's not an option, of course, we frequently fall back on our old standard of Wine when we need Windows, you know, applications. And You had some good news in that department too, right?
Speaking of Wine, for those of you who are Photoshop users, and I know many of you are, someone in the Wine forums has successfully installed has successfully installed Photoshop CS3 under Wine. Now, it doesn't exactly tell you how he did it, and there are other comments. I think it goes on further down about how he does it, but I can't read it right offhand. Other comments are saying, you know, I can't get it to run, and here's how I did, and here's what I got. But anyway, somebody has done it. One person has done it. So it is entirely possible to get it on there. And we should see that soon, you know, CS3 running under Wine, you know, on a widespread basis very soon, probably when CS4 comes out. So
awesome.
Anyway. Then to end things off, we have, if you any of you were wondering about Tux the Linux Penguin, if any one of you was wondering how it came about, we have the history of Tux, and we'll have the link for you in the show notes. It's in a wiki style format, but it takes you from the beginnings to the current Linux mascot in its current iteration as it stands right now. So. You can take a look at that at sjbaker.org/wiki/index.php.
I thought that was pretty funny, a funny little article. One of the pieces I liked out of it was the name Tux, like where that name came from. And just like the people who wrote this article, I thought the same thing. I thought that the name came from, you know, Tux came from because he looks like he's wearing a tuxedo, right?
Right.
And actually it stands for Torvalds Unix. So thought that was kind of cute.
There you go. That's a little bit of trivia for you. We're going to have to get a trivia contest going one of these days.
I like that.
Maybe in the summer. That should be one of the questions. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that is going to wrap it up for this week, I believe. And
for the news.
For the news. Thank you for joining us. I think next up we have a Man Page Minute where you talk about RMDIR. Is that right?
Yeah, still removing things.
Removing and erasing and all that kind of stuff. So we'll be back shortly after this break with the Man Page Minute.
Welcome back to the Man Page Minute. This week we're covering RMDIR, Remove Directory. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Last week we covered rm, and I told you that it can remove directories. So why do we need a special command just to remove directories? That's a really good question. I actually kind of asked myself that, because really the rm command does just about everything that rmdir does, but there's one thing I found that rmdir does differently. First off, remove directory is only going to work on directories. So you can run it on regular files without fear of deleting it, at least in theory. For instance, if you have a bunch of directories and you want to remove them, and you have a bunch of files and you want to use a wildcard because you're too lazy to type out all of the directory names individually, you could theoretically just say remove directory, rmdir, space, star, and let it go to temp. Now, I haven't tested that, so I don't really know that it works that way, but just going on an assumption here. Another thing is that by default, the remove directory command only removes empty directories. So it will not remove directories that have things in it. So for instance, if you had just made a directory for testing and it was empty and you wanted to remove it, you could blow it away. It's kind of like a safe, limited, somewhat crippled remove command. One option that is kind of cool about it, though, is the dash P switch. P for parents. Say, for instance, you have a directory called A, and in it is a directory called B, and in it is a directory called C. You can say rmdir space dash P space A/B/C, and it will remove all of the directories up to where the file, the parent is that you specified. So for instance, if you say that command, remove dir dash p abc, it will remove a, b, and c. Again, this is kind of like the same thing as doing an rm dash fr a, so I really don't see the benefit of that. Maybe some intrepid listener can really tell me why someone would use rmdir. Until then, I plan on forgetting about this command and going back to rm. So, enjoy!
And we are back for the Manage Page Minute. And thank you very much for putting that one out. Those are really taking off here. I've been learning a lot from you, and I appreciate all the work that you're putting into it. But in this segment, I would like to check out what's going on at Ubuntu Brainstorm. That is the new site that Ubuntu has started, and sort of a dig style or Reddit style site where people post their ideas, and those ideas are voted upon by the general public. Well, not really the general public, because you have to be registered, but if you register, you can go ahead and vote. And we are going to check out what is popular for this week. And I have to click the link there. We're at brainstorm.ubuntu.com. And if you look off into the left side of the sidebar, there is a link there that says most popular for this week. And for this week, the most popular ideas, just going from top to bottom, the ability to set different wallpaper and background for each virtual desktop. Not a bad idea. Let's go down to see which one is getting the most votes here. Do you see any? I think I saw one with 400 here.
The biggest one I saw was 286, was a more lightweight system monitor.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. Here's one with 443 that says Control-C and Control-V for copy and paste everywhere. Sometimes Control-C works, sometimes, like in Evolution, it doesn't. This is confusing. Consistency throughout Ubuntu would be great. Now, for some reason, I always thought that Control-C and Control-V were the de facto standard for copy and paste, but I don't use Evolution, so I don't know if it's true or not, but for the most part, Control-C and Control-V do work as copy and paste.
It's fairly standard, but apparently, I mean, enough people seem to think here that it's not universal, so there you go.
Okay. What else we got here? Play button should change to pause to a pause button in Rhythm Box. Okay, that seems to be all right. And let's see. Improve performance improve speed of the thumbnail feature in Nautilus. Well, anyway, that is just kind of a little snapshot of what's most popular over at Ubuntu Brainstorm. I think this is a good idea, and I really don't want this idea to die down because this, you know, I mean, the developers and all kinds of developers, apparently, the folks who develop Rhythmbox, the folks who develop Evolution, can gain and glean a ton of ideas from here, not just the Ubuntu guys, but all kinds of open source developers. So, you have got anything to say about the Brainstorm this week?
No, not yet. I haven't been using it too much, but since we're going to make that a regular feature, I'm going to definitely be checking on that regularly and see, you know, what's news.
Yep, that's right. We are going to have this as a regular feature on Fresh Ubuntu for a little while. We'll see how that goes, and
for as long as we remember to, right?
Exactly. We're gonna check on it every week to see what's new, what's most popular, and maybe check out some of the latest ideas. I want to going to press the random ideas link there on the side and see what comes up. Just for the heck of it, we'll see what comes up on here. And it's just taking my bandwidth is a little bit slow. I've been having trouble with my bandwidth lately. So here's a random idea: is configuration for save/restore assistant. Whatever.
Hey, you wanted something random? That's random.
Right, that is pretty random. Okay. So stay with us every week about Ubuntu Brainstorm. This will be kind of a neat little side topic for us. We'll check out what's popular among Ubuntu users and, you know, what's really on the minds of Ubuntu users. So coming up next, we have a new package where I'll have Peter talk about it because this is something that he was going to talk about. Was it 2 weeks ago? Two podcasts ago?
Yep, a couple weeks ago. Let's hear what you have to say about it too, because I don't have it installed on the machine that I'm on right now.
Oh, okay. That'll be coming up in just a couple of seconds after this short break. Okay, we are back, and this week we are going to highlight a little package, and this is from the How to Forge site, and go ahead and introduce this package for us.
All right, this is something called Ubuntu Tweak, and if you remember, it was, actually, I think it was the episode when Jason was on. At the very end, I said, oh, there's something else I wanted to talk about, and I forgot what it was, but I left it, you know, left a shortcut right on my desktop. Well, that's what this is. Basically, Ubuntu Tweak is a way, if you remember, I don't know, if you are a Windows user and you've ever used the Microsoft Power Toy called Tweak UI, it's pretty much the same idea, and that's probably where the name came from. Basically, it lets you tweak and change a bunch of settings in your user environment, your desktop environment, and some other stuff that normally you'd have to really dig to find these settings, like go into a command line and find some configuration files. So this makes it a lot easier. Basically gives you a graphical interface to a bunch of different things, and they have it categorized into like five different categories, I think. Computer, startup, your desktop, your system, and some security settings. So you can change things like your host name, for instance. If you wanted to change your host name, normally you'd have to drop to a command prompt, maybe edit a couple of files, or issue the host name command. But this lets you set it right from a GUI. You can, you know, specify your default shell if you wanted to change it to something other than bash. You can do things like, you know, under your startups, you can tell GNOME whether or not you want it to show the logout prompt, or if you just say logout, boom, it just logs you right off. Whether or not to show a splash screen when it's booting, things like that. Lots of little things that I mean, frankly, I had no idea where you would go to customize these things prior to, you know, the advent of Ubuntu Tweak. I know it could be done, but I wouldn't even know where to begin looking for it. So what did you do with it? Have you been using it on your system?
I used their Ubuntu Tweak 0.1, and that was pretty good. And, you know, I used it to get the desktop icons off of my desktop, and basically that's all I wanted to do. But essentially... Mm-hmm. You can do a ton of things with this. For instance,
that was something I did also when I saw the option to hide, you know, remove things off the desktop, because I have a lot of network drives mounted, and I really didn't like them all chewing up like half of my desktop real estate on my smaller displays. So yeah, that was the first thing I did, is not show them there. So instead, they did show up under the Places menu, but not on my desktop. I thought that was a good thing.
I like to keep my desktop clean as well, or at least, you know, keep them way, way off to the side, you know, or, and that kind of thing. But you know how desktops can become really cluttered because you download stuff and place stuff on your desktop? Well, I had to use Ubuntu Tweak. But you can also do some stuff like Compiz Fusion settings and GNOME settings, like with the panel in the menu. Now, all these things are, of course, available without Ubuntu Tweaks. You can get to them, you know, through the command line, like Peter was saying, or through the system menu, and it's basically up at the top panel. But this kind of puts everything in one place. If you wanted to make a little slight change in something, you would naturally just go to Ubuntu Tweak, and it'll do it for you. It's sort of everything in one place, a nice way to organize your tweaks, and you know, someplace to remember where you can change a default setting. So anyway, this is from How to Forge at howtoforge.com, and we'll put a link in the show notes. And there you have it. Check it out. Ubuntu Tweaks, tweaking hidden Ubuntu settings for your Ubuntu system. Okay, so we're back now, Peter. You have something for us, and it is the Pulse of Ubuntu.
Yeah, I found this. Somebody, you remember last week, we were talking about how we wanted our social network to appear or take shape or evolve or whatnot. Curiously, although I did have a bunch of messages on Twitter and email feedback and stuff, you know, mostly personal stuff, but from users this past week, I didn't get any feedback on that, but somebody else apparently had the same idea. And I saw a blog post over on TypePad where apparently Chris Edwards, who's, I guess he's one of the Ubuntu, I don't know if he's one of their developers or what exactly his role is, said we should organize all Ubuntu people on Twitter and put that to good use. And I said, well, that's
stealing our ideas, man.
I tell you, man, this came out on March 10th, and we recorded on, what was it, the 7th? Or the 6th? Yeah, see, you know, this is just, this is like that time when you told everybody to use open source and save millions of dollars a year and something. Same thing going on here. Anyway, the idea is that there's a Twitter user out there named Pulse of Ubuntu, and the idea is that all Ubuntu users would follow that and that user, and that way, you know, you can see who is following Pulse of Ubuntu and then follow each other and, you know, make yourself your big Twitter friends list that way. So, I don't know. They're saying about how, you know, everybody's got to be following this. They're following 52 people, and Pulse of Ubuntu has 61 followers. Now, I've got over 107 followers right now, and that's with most of the, you know, robots in Florida counties not included anymore. So, I don't know, Harlem. I think I'm the Pulse of Ubuntu, don't you?
You are the Pulse of Ubuntu. I will say right now, officially, I dub thee the Pulse of Ubuntu.
Okay, I need to edit my, I'm just going to edit my profile here on Twitter really quickly here. I'm just going into settings. I'm going into, let's see, profile, blah, blah, open source legend, and pulse of Ubuntu. Okay, good. Got it. Done. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So, it's official.
It is official. Peter Nicolaitis is now the Pulse of Ubuntu. You can also go to twitter.com/pulseofubuntu. Another Pulse of Ubuntu, whoever this is. And you can follow that as well, too. So, since we're on the topic of Twitter, it just doesn't seem to escape us. Every week we keep talking about Twitter. Are you still there?
I am.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I always hear the silence. I'm going, oh, no, my connection dropped. But anyway, it never seems to escape us. We end up talking about Twitter. So we're just going to go ahead and mention our Twitter feeds right now. Peter's Twitter feed is at twitter.com/Nicolaitis. That is N as in Nancy, Nicolaidis. Peter Nicolaitis, twitter.com/Nicolaitis. And
did you spell that right?
Twitter, did I?
I don't know. It sounded like you might have. Yeah.
I may have butchered it.
I thought you dropped a vowel there, but you were breaking up a little bit, so I couldn't be sure.
Okay, well, just in case, I'm going to spell it once more time.
Trying to sabotage me again, man.
Peter is at twitter.com/Nicolaitis. That's Nicolaidis. And, of course, my Twitter feed is at twitter.com/Harlem, Harlem. You can follow us. You can check out all our followers or whoever we are following, and you can follow them as well. I really would like to one day make a blog post about all my Twitter followers just so that we can all follow each other. But I don't know. That might be a little too complicated at this point. But it might be one of my projects that I do this month. So,
hey, before we totally wrap up, did you have any official Fresh Ubuntu user feedback?
Yes, I did. So I guess we are just going to go ahead and go into our user feedback segment. And let's see here. Let me open up. I got a lot of tweets, which is just fine by me. I haven't got a problem with those kinds of replies. Actually, I kind of prefer it because it's kind of nice. So, let's see here. Let's go to my first tweet. This is from Jason. Last week's podcast was sort of the introduction to the 9-inch Nails MP3s, which were freely downloadable, by the way. 9-inch Nails doing a different type of marketing scheme, so to speak. They have given away 9 of their brand new songs in MP3 format. I think they're 320 kilobits, really high bit rate and really excellent sounding files. Anyway, you can get those at ghosts.9inchnails.com, and you can download them for free there, or you can buy one of the several nicely priced packages. I think I did a blog post on it last week for last week's podcast. But anyway, a couple of tweets from Jason. He says he likes the new albums in an ambient sort of way. And also, we talked about Linux Mint last week. And he also said that the distro is great, but the names are a little weird. In another time, we used to name projects after women to allow talk without direct reference. Okay. And you said something, you were concerned a little bit about Linux Mint as well. Is that right, Peter?
Yeah. You remember I had downloaded it a few months ago, I think. I downloaded the latest version. I ran it in a virtual machine, and it looked kind of cool. But my concern with it was that it basically didn't have, and still doesn't, to my knowledge, have any official bug tracking and security mailing lists. Now, let's see, I forget who said, I think it was Chris in Dallas on Twitter, said that Linux Mint really is just Gutsy with an additional repository, and all of the security updates and everything are coming right from the Ubuntu repository. So that's a good thing. But Mint has basically one official developer. I forget the gentleman's name. He was just interviewed this week on the Linux Action Show. It's a great, great show, by the way. And it did rekindle my interest in Mint. But my concern is that it's still just one guy coding a few hours a day on the project. And what happens if there are, you know, serious security vulnerabilities in some of the add-on packages that they're releasing, you know, with Mint, not Ubuntu specific stuff? Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that. Now, granted, it's just a desktop operating system, so that's one way they kind of like brushed off those concerns, but I think that's a little bit of a slippery slope. So I am going to try out Mint. I'm looking forward to checking it out. I do have it installed on one of my machines here in the office, and maybe next week we'll talk a little more about that. It definitely looks cool. You know, you could definitely consider it as you know, Ubuntu done right, if it's you know, those very few missing features from Ubuntu annoy you. They're pretty much taken care of in Mint. But so I've got little concerns, but it looks pretty cool.
Cool. Let's put it down on the schedule. We'll talk about Mint next week. And I believe that they just came out with their KDE Community Edition just recently. So that'll give me time to also install it on one of my computers, and we can compare notes. How about that?
Sounds good.
Yep. And this is from Chris in Dallas. He said, Harlan and Peter, do I hear a minty fresh Ubuntu podcast? And yes, you do. You will be hearing one, and probably next week. Let's see. I think that's about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me see here. Well, we just talked about the one from Chris. Nightwise, he sent up a post just a couple days ago about Senseo and what lousy coffee it makes. So
does it make bad coffee?
No, I straightened him out on that. I think what happened is he put in one pod, but he had it set on the two-pod cup setting, or two cup setting. So he basically made a cup of, you know, lightly brown water, not really good stuff. So I told him about that. Helped our friend over at Digital Overload pick out a new microphone. He looks like he's buying the Blue Snowball, just like I have. Corresponded with a couple of guys about moving my pigeon settings over to my new desktop. That was on Windows, but same idea. You know, I was trying to find my pigeon settings, and I moved the whole directory over, but they didn't come over. So when I fired up Pigeon, my accounts and all my usernames and passwords and stuff were not there. Turns out I had to restart Pigeon a few times, and then magically it worked. So that was a little bit annoying, but you know, at least we found the workaround there. So, and that was pretty much that, other than Jason messaging me saying that he would not give me a hug because he's not a woman. But other Twitter followers did send me hugs, so I'm not going to say their names right now because I don't want to accuse them of being women. Then again, I suppose if I did, it would be Jason who would be accusing them of being women, so maybe I want to get him in. Nah, not right now.
Jason can be reached at.
Yeah, he's on Twitter at N74JW. So if you are one of my fans and you sent me a hug on Twitter, go beat him up.
Yeah. I also tweeted earlier today about Jason Calacanis, and I thought he was a genius. And Randy, or the Nose 100, says, yes, I'd vote for Jason Calacanis for Prez. I listened to Twit. He was on Twit. Zuck This was the episode. I don't. Have you listened to that yet?
I have not yet. I've really got behind on my podcast. It's been really busy with work. I've been putting in a lot of late hours, and I can't really focus. I'm a very auditory, audio focused kind of guy. So when I have a podcast going, I can't always concentrate on other stuff. So I'm really lagging.
You have something to look forward to. Jason Calacanis was on it, and I think Jerry Purnell and the other guy. But anyway, good show.
I'd be curious to hear what Jason has to say about that, because he and I seem to have similar feelings about Calican. I don't know. Sometimes he comes out with some good stuff, but I find him to be somewhat self-centered, self-promoting, and annoying on most occasions.
Yeah, but I think that's because wasn't he born in New York or something? He was.
Oh yeah, he's born in New York, man. Yeah. You got a problem with that?
So it might come off as some kind of East Coast swagger, I guess. But I don't know. I think he grows on you, and he's got some good points. So Randy says he'd vote for him for president. And he said, by the way, you have some weird phone callers, and. I've only had two, Randy, and we all know where those came. So I have to agree with him on that one.
I have to agree with Randy on that one. We do have some really weird phone callers.
I enjoy his phone calls, and just to go off on a little side note, Randy was having problems playing his 3G2 files, cell phone video files, and we got that fixed. They do run under QuickTime, which is one good thing to have a Windows machine or a Macintosh running around, just to find out whether they play or not. So they do run under QuickTime, and so basically what we did to fix Randy's problem was to download QuickTime utilities and QuickTime-X11 utilities, and got those working. So any of you who are using or playing around with 3G2, 3GP files, you can now get them to play quite nicely with sound under Linux by just downloading those two utilities. So,
great.
I think that is going to about do it this week. Do I have any other? Oh, yes. One last thing is, I will make this one quick announcement that we have settled on a theme song, and that theme song was donated to us by Scott McGrath, and he happens to be an employee of yours. Is that that's right, Peter?
That is correct. Scott and I go back, I don't know, we've known each other for more than 10 years now, and yep, good friend of mine, and he came on full-time here at Paradigm back at the end of January. And it's great having him here. He's a heavy-duty Linux user, and thanks partially to my influences, he's a big Ubuntu guy too nowadays. So I'd like to probably have him on the show at some point. We were talking, someone had requested that we do a show about iTunes alternatives, and Scott is a musician, and he has actually spent a lot more time fiddling around with music playing and stuff on Linux, so I'd love to get him on the show and have him do that segment sometime in the near future.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to have him on and congratulate him, or not congratulate him, thank him personally. he sent us two files. The first one was pretty good too, but when he sent me the second one, I had already posted the podcast, and it was just, you know, like an hour too late, you know, to get his on. But I liked it so much better. And this is going to be the theme song for a little while. So,
great.
One last housekeeping issue. A listener suggested that we start a delicious tag for Fresh Ubuntu, and we have done just that. Emmett Stewart, if you remember Cafe Ninja, the Cafe Ninja interview suggested that. And so we took him up on that, and I've actually had the delicious tag around for a little while. It's delicious/FreshUbuntu, and if you have anything that you would like to tag, you can just go ahead and tag it 4:FreshUbuntu, and we will get that on my links for you link, whatever they call it in Delicious. So if you've got something for us, go ahead and tag it 4:FreshUbuntu, and that's not the word colon, but the symbol colon.
That's two dots.
Two dots.
One on top of the other. And that key, two keys over to the right of the enter. Yeah.
That's right.
Shift, so dot, dot.
Anyway, just a nice little way for y'all to participate in the tagging in the news segment. So, and let's see. Our email address is peter@freshubuntu.org. You can send all your complaints to him, And you can send the rest of them to me, harlem@freshubuntu.org. We'd love to hear from you. Give our web call button a try. Randy's done it a couple of times. It's a really neat feature, and it's a good way to get yourself on the show because we don't get many of them, and for sure, if you send us one, you will definitely be on Fresh Ubuntu. So just go to freshubuntu.org. You can go to also freshubuntu.org for the show notes for this week and any other week for that matter. Check out Peter's blog at nicolaitis.com/blog or blog.nicolaitis.com.
Or pn72.com, because I realize that some people still have trouble spelling Nicolaitis, and a bunch of other folks who don't have the good fortune of being able to listen to our podcast also have trouble pronouncing Nicolaitis, but we have some advice for them too, right?
Oh, yeah. And what would that be?
Well, I'll let you handle that part. I think that's probably good. If you don't have anything else, I think that's a great way to end the show.
I think so, too. So y'all have a nice week. The music was provided by Iota Promenet and, of course, Scott McGrath with our new theme song. Thank you very much, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this message is for Peter Nicola. Hi, this is for Peter Nicola. This match, Peter Nicola. Excuse me. This message is for Nicola. Sorry.